Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. We kick things off with the Europa League final as we welcome in Craig Burley and Stuart Robson. Eintracht Frankfurt winning in the end. It went down to penalties. Aaron Ramsey's missed pen proving to be decisive as Eintracht Frankfurt go on and win the tournament. Deserved, Craig?
I think so over the course of the 90 minutes. I mean, that's hard to remember back. I mean, obviously, Kevin Trapp made that save right at the end in, I think, 118 minutes from close range. To me, Eintracht Frankfurt were just a more composed side. It looked a little bit more efficient. I thought it was amazing that Rangers just hung in there and managed to get themselves back in the game and kept managing to be a threat. And the results they've got all the way through this, beating the likes of Dortmund and Leipzig and Red Star Belgrade and others, has been amazing. But to go all the way in extra time against a side who I thought were comfortable against West Ham in two legs, went to the Nou Camp and pummeled Barcelona, really. And for Rangers, with their budget and where they get their players from in general, some of them from the Championship and below, I thought it was an amazing effort. But I just felt that, obviously, over 120 minutes, they just come up short. And then somebody has to be a villain in terms of the penalties.
Do you agree, Robbo?
Yeah, particularly over the first 90 minutes. And Craig's absolutely right. If there was one team that had a game plan in terms of you could see their patterns of play, it was Eintracht Frankfurt, you know, getting it out to their wing-backs who would run with the ball and get crosses into the box. Kamada, you know, drifting away from the front player and getting on the ball and making things happen. So they were the better and more composed team. But again, you have to give Rangers credit because they kept plugging away. They showed great energy, great enthusiasm. And in the extra time, they were the team that wanted to go and win it. And actually, Eintracht Frankfurt sat that little bit deeper and just played with one up front. So over the 90 minutes, yes, Eintracht Frankfurt were the better team. Over the extra time, Rangers were the side that looked as though they might win it. And as Craig mentioned, Trapp made that brilliant save right at the end.
It has been far from easy, Eintracht Frankfurt's route to this final. Craig mentioned it, of course, beating Barcelona, beating West Ham, beating Real Betis as well. It's been quite the tournament, obviously, for them.
And let's just focus on Eintracht Frankfurt against Barcelona, in that they needed to win at the Camp Nou. And not only did they win, and Craig just mentioned it, it's the manner in which they play and how they dominated without having the ball. So Barcelona had all the possession, which we expected, but whenever they got out in transition, they were able to get the goals that they needed, they were able to get the results that they needed, and going into the Camp Nou, and remember, this is the controversy surrounding this match, was that there were a bunch of fans there in the Camp Nou, Eintracht Frankfurt fans, and all of a sudden that became the reason as to why Barcelona lost. No, it was because Frankfurt, on the day, they were better in terms of what they wanted to do, how they wanted to execute, and how they were able to put a final touch that Barcelona was never able to do. What I think was really key for Eintracht Frankfurt is that they didn't just sit back and say, yeah, it's great, we beat Barcelona, and that's it. No, no, they continued that momentum and were dominant against West Ham and now continue the momentum into the final. And while they deserved to win the game, they were trailing. And it's a mistake by Rangers that allows Santos Borré to be able to score the goal, make it 1-1, then win it in penalties. So that's a disappointing part for Rangers in that they were winning the game. Frankfurt found a way back, and then I think in the end, they were the more deserving.
Clearly, Craig, it looked like a great atmosphere there.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, you know, I think one of the reasons is because I know everybody wants to win competitions, but sometimes clubs get a little blasé about winning the Europa League and winning cups because some of the bigger clubs, the more successful clubs of recent years, are doing it more often, where here you had two clubs that it just meant so much to. It meant so much to the fans. You know, never thought for a minute, maybe Eintracht Frankfurt did, but certainly I would imagine Rangers at the start of the season had enough on their plate trying to defend the title that they won last season. And when they saw the draw for the Europa League and some of the teams they had to meet and the knockout and so forth, they would never have dreamed to have been in that stadium playing over 120 minutes and then going to penalties. The fact that they have done that, I think it's an amazing achievement. I think it's a big feather in Van Bronckhorst's cap. You know, Aribo up front, he was only playing up there. He's not a natural striker. He's playing up there because Morelos was unavailable, their Colombian striker who's been a bit of a talisman for them for a few years now. And he was at Charlton and League One. And Lee Bowyer, I believe, the manager, said to him, "You're making a big mistake going to Rangers." And a couple of years later, whatever it is, he's scoring the opening goal in Sevilla in front of thousands and thousands of fans, playing in the Europa League final. So it's given players like that and others an opportunity. But I actually didn't think it would go this far tonight. Having watched Frankfurt in a couple of games recently, I was really impressed by the slickness, and I felt it would be a problem for Rangers. But actually, I was really impressed that even though they struggled a lot of times in possession, defensively, the structure and stopping Eintracht Frankfurt playing was actually pretty good. And that's what's taken them a long way in this competition. They've sat in, defended really well, and they've hit a lot of teams on the counter-attack. They just come up short, Dan, tonight. I was there in Seville in 2004 as well when Celtic came up a bit short against Mourinho's Porto. And once again, it's happened to Rangers tonight.
So Eintracht Frankfurt, your Europa League winners. By the way, extra time is worth a watch because Craig talks about a story where he not only apologised once, but twice.
What?
I know, it's quite something. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel. Rangers then back in action this Saturday in the Scottish Cup final as they take on Hearts. Love the music. It is live on ESPN Plus at 10 a.m. Eastern. And it's also the German Cup final as well on Sunday. Freiburg taking on Leipzig. That game the afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern on Plus. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Friday sees Real Madrid's final La Liga game of the season. They take on Real Betis.
I'll be calling that game.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good. Well, despite that, still watch it. It's on ESPN Plus.
Please do.
3 p.m. Eastern, of course, a busy day of busy weekend of La Liga. And we'll be discussing that more as the week goes on. But first, let's talk about Real Madrid, shall we? Because, of course, Kylian Mbappe reported, has made up his mind, and will be joining the Spanish capital side alongside Karim Benzema and Vinicius Jr. at a trident of 100 goals.
Oh, you're Spanish. Good,
I don't know why Benzema looks so old in that picture. But there we go. Stuart Robson, of course, has been very much a voice of La Liga for us. You've seen a lot of Real Madrid, Robbo. Where does Mbappe fit into this side?
Well, that's the difficult thing because I think he's at his best when he's playing sort of an inside left, outside left, coming in from that left-hand side onto his right foot. Well, that's where Vinicius Jr. has done so much good work this season. So I think he's going to have to probably play on the other side, or if he plays on the left, Vinicius Jr. is going to have to adapt his game and play on the right. But as a front three, I mean, it's a magnificent front three. Vinicius Jr. can run with the ball and go past people, the pace of Mbappe and the cleverness and the goal scoring of Benzema. So I'm sure it can work whichever formation they play in, but it's going to be great for Real Madrid to see them play with those three.
How good is he, Robbo?
Well, he's a magnificent player. You can't get away from that. He doesn't always play with consistency, but on his day, he's got that pace. He's got the ability to go past people with the ball. He's got the ability to make the right sort of runs, and he's a good finisher. So there's no question about it. He's one of the best players in the world, and he will thrive at Real Madrid in a very good team.
And he wants to be there, Ali.
Well, and
I know that's stating the obvious, but that's got to add an extra bit of spice to it.
And Robert just alluded to the fact that he's not always consistent. Well, we know this from Real Madrid. And you, having worked at Real Madrid TV, and the fans of Real Madrid and that whole environment will demand that you perform at a high level all the time.
Yeah.
So while it is important that he wants to be there and he wants to be on that stage, it's also going to be critically important that he understands the responsibility of performing at that high level all the time. That you see in Karim Benzema a very good example, the best example as to how is it that you have to carry yourself. If you have any questions, go to Karim directly and say, hey, you've been here in Madrid and sometimes you have been criticized and sometimes they pointed the finger at you and now you've taken this whole entirely different level of stature within this club. How do we get there? What do I need to do? And the truth of the matter is, playing well at a high level with consistency and productivity will do that for you without you having to say absolutely nothing. Nothing. Yeah. You don't have to say anything. That will speak louder than anything else that you can say to the media, to the press, or whatever. Just carry yourself professionally and with productivity consistently, and you'll be just fine.
To Robbo's point, how's Vinicius Jr.?
I think Vinny right now has been able to create a space for himself in this group to where I don't think he is nervous as to what his role is going to be. Now, what we will see a lot of is rotation. And sometimes Mbappe will appear on the left. Sometimes Vinicius will have to go on the right. But we've also seen Kylian Mbappe playing with France where he's able to run on that right-hand side and get off of the shoulder of defenders and force defenders in positions where they have to chase him off on that right-hand side. So it's not like he's not capable of playing on the right. And both of these guys are so very good and so very talented in 1v1 situations and utilizing their pace that whether they come from the left or from the right, they're going to be dangerous. And then pulling all of that together is going to be Karim Benzema. It is a beautiful front three to think about from a Real Madrid perspective.
Just from a football fan's
perspective. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. Of course, just a few years ago, Paul Pogba was heavily linked to a move to Real Madrid. That has gone very quiet now, but he will be leaving Manchester United, it seems, doesn't he, in the summer as his contract expires. PSG or Juventus seem to be the front runners regarding who is going to get him. Juve apparently have offered him a contract which is nowhere near as much as PSG has offered. From a Juventus standpoint, Robbo, how hard do you push to get him back?
I think you push hard. I think he'll be a great signing. Juventus, you know, they played their last game of the season, or last home game, and Chiellini's gone and Dybala's gone. They're going to rebuild. And they need players of the quality of Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba was a brilliant player. He was one of the best midfield players in the world when he was playing for Juventus, when he was much younger. He did everything you could want of a midfield player. He could run, he could tackle, he could pass it. And I think they would have him back and they would make him a top-class player again. If he goes to PSG, he doesn't have to play well every week because they don't perform at a level which needs that consistency. He needs to go to Juventus, prove once again he is a world-class player. And I think there will be a marriage made in heaven.
Oh, marriage made in heaven.
Wow, heavenly, huh? Mm. I agree. I think Juventus is a better fit for both Paul Pogba and PSG. See, you have a built-in soap opera going on at PSG anyways. Why add to it?
Right.
And if there was all these big names that you think, okay, we're going to add one more big name. We're going to add more arrogance. We're going to add another headache. Why, if you're PSG? You got to get more workers in there. You got to get guys that don't bring a whole ego and a whole history and baggage with them. No, baggage less. Ego less. Guys that are willing to do the running because you have guys on the field that are not willing to do it. And so if you accept that Neymar is not going to run and Messi is not going to run, then guys behind them are going to have to do that job. You think Paul Pogba is going to do that job? No. No, he's not. No, he's not. I don't care how talented he is. He's not doing that job. And if you're Paul Pogba, you're better off going to Juventus to rekindle, to relight the fire of what I was. Let me prove to you what I was and what I can still be.
Do you know, I think maybe you should have a little sniff around.
What's that?
The aforementioned Real Madrid.
Well,
and you get that in there as well.
More than a sniff, probably.
It's big boy time. Right, we're talking about Juventus, of course, out of the title race. It will go right down to the wire in Serie A this weekend. It's quite a nice situation for Milan to be in. As long as you don't muck it up, as long as you don't lose.
Oh.
away against Sassuolo, then you're fine. Then you will be champions. Milan will be hoping, though. Inter Milan obviously will be hoping that they do, in fact, lose. Sampdoria is Inter's opponent at the weekend. Milan can't muck this up, can they, Robbo?
They can. They certainly can. They're not a side that are going to blow the opposition away. They're quite methodical in their approach. The manager's done a fantastic job. If you looked at their set of players, you wouldn't say they're the best team in Serie A. But over the last couple of years, they've been consistent with their performances. But they have had games against weaker opposition where they've struggled to break them down. Now, they're going to Sassuolo, who are a very good footballing side. They haven't had good results of late. But on their day, a bit like Atalanta, they can tear you apart with their good passing. They've got good movement. They've got some creative players. This will be a tough game for Milan. They're going to have to play at their very best. I think it could go right to the wire.
Is that in your pre-game speech, by the way?
What's that?
Don't muck it up, guys.
Yes.
That's it.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's how you inspire the players.
Don't muck this up. Pretty much, to be fair, that's how I go for most of my broadcasts.
Oh, okay.
Don't muck this up, Dan. Don't say anything stupid. And hopefully we'll be back for more.
Hey.
Thank you very much, Romano. Of course, they'll be discussing the title race in Italy in a lot more detail on the latest edition of Gab and Jules, which drops on Thursday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Look at these scenes at the Deutsche Bank Park. This is, of course, Eintracht Frankfurt's home stadium. 50,000 fans in attendance. And this was the reaction as the winning penalty hit the back of the net. How cool is that? Absolutely brilliant. I'm actually quite a big party in Frankfurt tonight. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, let's head back to Seville, shall we? Archie Rinter in attendance for the Europa League final. The build-up was all about the quality of the support from both of these sides. And I imagine that was tangible throughout this game, Archie.
Yeah, the first half, I'd say that Frankfurt were louder, but then Rangers definitely came back. That's for sure. I don't think there was quite the same frenetic noise that there was when Frankfurt scored their equaliser. I've not seen such a mass of limbs just move when Rangers scored. But the scenes here when Frankfurt won, the end of that 42-year run without a European final, but now a European trophy, a place in the Champions League to the finances as well, 30 million euros confirmed, a huge moment for German football, but also for Eintracht Frankfurt in a year when they've lost a club legend, Jürgen Grabowski, former World Cup winner, European Championship winner, and winner of the UEFA Cup with Eintracht Frankfurt in 1980. So very poignant that they lift the trophy tonight. But to be honest, I think that it should say Eintracht Frankfurt in brackets, Kevin Trapp, because the game that guy had tonight, the save that he made just before the end from Stephen Davis, let alone the penalty save from Aaron Ramsey. He is their player of the season, no questions about it. And club legend, it's there.
Yeah, that save, right, in extra time. I imagine everyone in the stadium must have thought that was in, Archie.
Oh, completely. I was just waiting for the roar of the Rangers fans, and yet somehow he sticks himself between the ball and the goal. I'm still not sure how he's made that save. And you could say that about many saves that Kevin Trapp has made this season. The first win of the season that they had away at Bayern Munich, way back in October it was Kevin Trapp's. And how fitting it is that their final and most important victory of the season is down to him. And just the place that they've come from, Eintracht Frankfurt. Kevin Trapp himself, who had to have such a terrible time once upon a time at Barcelona in a PSG shirt, when they lost 6-1 in that famous comeback. He goes back there, puts all those demons to bed with a performance there this season as well. And now lifting the trophy with Eintracht Frankfurt. Sebastian Rode, the one holding it aloft. I thought he should have gone straight to Kevin Trapp, to be honest. But look, there you go. A magical night in Eintracht Frankfurt's history. And it's down to these fans as well. I spoke to Kevin Trapp last week about the connection with the fans. And he said that before the West Ham game, he just turned round at one point and just couldn't help but admire the support, the way they were firing him on. And he just had a little smile to himself. But it says so much for his focus that even in the most hectic moments, he keeps his cool and, yeah, secures his place in German football folklore as well. This is a huge result for 50+1 fan ownership and showing that you don't need to have money from an investor to get success in football these days.
Last point, Archie. As an occasion, this has been a great final, hasn't it?
Oh, superb. Even just now, I saw a Rangers fan behind me who was looking up at the stadium, his eyes seeming to say, when's it going to be our time? And he stood there, and then he saw two Eintracht Frankfurt fans, and he goes up to them going, oh, do you want a picture of you two in front of the stadium? And that's the side of football that I've seen here. And there has been some isolated incidents of trouble with the Eintracht Frankfurt hooligans again, which is disappointing to see. But the vast majority have been drinking and celebrating together the fact that these two underdogs have reached the final. And yeah, my heart goes out to one guy in particular, a Rangers fan called Craig, who flew in from Australia to see this game. That is a long flight back after tonight.
Oh, man. And Archie, did Jan give up his place in the Ritz, or are you still going back to the hostel?
I've got a hotel tonight.
Yay!
I saw Mr. Fjortoft on the pitch.
Yeah.
I saw Mr. Fjortoft on the pitch. Oh, he wasn't so much walking about, he was bouncing. Yeah, he springing his step, and rightly so. Jan, if my voice actually doesn't break, Jan is partly responsible as a club legend for the never say die spirit of Eintracht Frankfurt. I wouldn't say that to his face, obviously, but he is an important part of the culture and that showed that, you know, even if you're down, you can come back and achieve great things. He showed that when he kept them up at the turn of the century. And now, I mean, Jan's going to have problems getting into Legends dinners now because he's got about 11, 15 people ahead of him. So, yeah.
He's watching. He says not partly responsible, mostly responsible, he said, just to correct you, Archie, on that. Hey, mate, thank you very much, as always. Archie, great stuff. Go and get yourself some food and some a beverage.
Oh,
I think
what?
It's very,
okay.
Very worthy, right. As Eintracht Frankfurt are the Europa League champions. Meanwhile, at very much the other end of the spectrum, of course, it's the relegation playoff. Hertha Berlin take on Hamburg. The first leg of that tie is on Thursday, 2:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, it was a historic day for US soccer as the United States men's and women's national teams have ratified new collective bargaining agreements that guarantee equal pay. Jeff Carlisle has written about it on the website, and US soccer president Cindy Parlow-Cohn also spoke about it today.
I am so proud of what we have been able to achieve, bringing both the men's and women's players associations together for the first time with US Soccer to negotiate this deal. They include identical game payments pooling and sharing of all prize money, including World Cup prize money. We're the first country to ever do that. So what other countries have done is they will give equal percentages of their World Cup prize money to the players. So the women, whatever the women's team wins, they would get a certain percentage, and whatever the men's team won in their World Cup, they would get that same percentage. What we are doing is we're pooling all of the World Cup prize money together and then sharing it evenly among our men and our women's team. The men deserve a ton of credit. You know, I said months before we actually got them in the room together that this deal would not get done without the men's players and the men's players association coming together and working with the women's PA, the women's players, and US soccer. And they have absolutely done that. And I think this deal is going to have ramifications throughout the entire world. You know, it's game-changing moment here in the US, but it has the potential to change how international soccer and international sport do business with the equalization of prize money for our men's and women's World Cup. I think it's just going to be a historic moment, and hopefully it will create change throughout the world.
Adding to the reaction, Walker Zimmerman, who's a member of the U.S. National Soccer Team Men's Player Association, said it's the right thing to do. It's something that the U.S. women's team players deserve. It's something that they have fought so hard. And to be honest, sometimes it does feel like we had just kind of come alongside of them and had been a little late. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Julie Foudy. Julie, I hope you got some bubbly on ice.
I know. Let's go. Come on.
This is something what a journey this has been to get to this point.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. We had a text thread of 1999ers going back to our playing days, which Cindy Parlow Cohn was a 99er, of course. So she's lived this. Now she's president. So that's wonderful. I think in large part, that's why this got over the line. But this has been a fight that goes back decades with the national team. And honestly, I wasn't sure we were going to get to this day. I mean, even last week, I wasn't sure we were going to get to this day. This has been a long fight. And Cindy said it, the men deserve a ton of credit, and they do. And Cindy and both PAs and all the players coming together for the first time. For so long, it's been a lot of this and contentious, honestly. And so that is what makes me also super pleased is finally the men will benefit from the women doing well, and the women will benefit, of course, from the men doing well. And we're all rowing together for the first time.
This is obviously such a trailblazing decision, and hopefully this is kind of the example set now to other federations.
Exactly. And that's the thing that, you know, there have been federations like Australia said, well, we're paying our players equal pay. Not really. They're paying equal percentage. And we know the FIFA payout for men is much different than the FIFA payout for women. So 15% of a lot is a lot more than 15% of a little. So no, it's not equal. This is actually equal. And obviously FIFA is not going to get there. And it's going to take us a lot of time and a lot of urging to get FIFA there. And so this is U.S. soccer saying, we're going to be the flag bearers. We're going to be the standard. And the U.S. men saying, hey, we're going to do the right thing here. And hopefully other federations will do the same thing. But it's not just women's soccer, and it's not just soccer. I think this will have global implications on a lot of different levels. And that's what's so exciting about today.
Finally, Gigi, what does this mean going forward for U.S. soccer within the country?
Well, we can finally focus on the things we should be focusing on, investing in grassroots, actually finding the best players out there. For so long, it's just been wasted energy, in my opinion, on collective bargaining agreements. It's every 2 years, it feels like. It's all this contention about what are the men getting and why aren't we getting that? And now we can actually focus on just growing the game and being great and winning World Cups and all these things we should have been focused on, I think, in the last 20 years. And now we can do that. And so I think this is a great thing for sponsors. I think it's a great thing for soccer in this country. And as we said, it's a great example for other federations, hopefully, not just in soccer, to follow.
So obviously both sides took hits kind of during these negotiations. It wasn't clean. It wasn't smooth running. Is that all behind everybody now?
I think it is. I mean, I think everyone had to make concessions. But when you look at the deal, it's a good deal. The players are going to make a step up for sure. And both sides, both the men's and the women's. So I do think that it, obviously there were some tensions in the past. I do think this puts us on the same page. And the historic moment of both PAs coming together, which astonishingly has never happened, where they've come together and negotiated together and sat down and said, okay, what matters to you and what matters to us? And let's get on the same page for the first time. That's going to be huge going forward, because now we're all cheering for each other. Because if the men, as I said, do well, the women benefit. If the women do well, the men benefit. And you're all on the same page for the first time. You know the big slogan of U.S. soccer, which we always honestly kind of laughed about as players? One team, one nation. It's honestly finally that, and it feels really good.
Julie Fowley, thank you very much indeed. A lot more reaction to this on the next edition of Football Americas, which of course drops tomorrow here on ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just one game from Wembley and two from the Premier League.
What an atmosphere.
He's looking for Elliman and Chai. Big chance this. Good save by Samba. He's looking across the line for Brennan Johnson. He's done it again. He scores in both playoff semi-finals. There's his dad in the stands. Berger takes over. Whips it across. Gets wide. It is not over yet. Sheffield United have a glimmer. At the moment, Flex got in there now. Still bowled up, looks across, Flex! Sheffield United are back from the dead. John Flex squares the tie. Gives wide and Jai. What a save, Samba. Goodness me. That was fabulous goalkeeping. And it will be penalties to decide who goes to Wembley. Norwood steps up and Samba saves it. It's Hourahan. He's missed, and Nottingham Forest now are absolutely in the box seat for Wembley. Pressure moment here, and he's blazed it over. He has blazed it over, and Sheffield United have an opportunity here now. Has to score this. He's been the magic man for the Blades all season, Morgan Gibbs-White.
Extraordinary end to the game then, which sees Nottingham Forest book a place in that Championship playoff final where they face off against Huddersfield Town. May the 29th, that game will be live on ESPN Plus, 11:30 Eastern. Of course, these teams know each other well. Not only have they met in the league, but also the FA Cup this season, with Forest winning two of those encounters. Huddersfield, meanwhile, with a 1-0 win just before the new year last year. Stuart Robson, of course, on the call for that game, as we heard. Craig Burley with us as well. Robbo, Forest favourites going into the final?
Absolutely. They've got everything going their way at the moment. They're a better team. They've got a manager that's inspired. And remember, they were bottom of the table when Chris Hughton was sacked. He came in. They've had a great cup run. They've been brilliant in the league. They didn't play at their very best last night. Obviously, they lost the game over in the second leg. But they're a better side than Huddersfield, and I expect them to go through.
Concern, though, Craig, is they looked nervous yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And Rob was right. It was an edgy game. They did look nervous. Sheffield United, who the onus really was in them from the 2-1 defeat at Bramall Lane, they played really well for long periods, dominated the game early on. Second half was one-way traffic for a long period, particularly after they got the goal after half-time. And I think it's understandable, Dan. It's been 23 years. Obviously, none of these players have been involved for that period of time. But 23 years as a club since being in the Premier League. And I think they felt that at the City Ground last night. You could sort of feel the tension in the players' performance. They hit a lot of long balls. Yeah, they had a threat on the counter-attack, particularly with Brennan Johnson and Surridge. But it was a nervy evening. And I think the thing from Stevie Cooper is, look, you know, we didn't play well. We know we can play better. But if we do play like that at Wembley and it will be another test of the nerves, then they are going to give Huddersfield an opportunity because, as Stuart said, they are the better side for us. But they're going to have to put their passing game together a bit better than they did against this Sheffield United side.
Huddersfield obviously have been in the Premier League more recently than Forest, Robert, by quite a distance. Does that make any difference?
I don't think it does. I think they've had a couple of poor seasons. They were expected to be down in the relegation zone come this point of the season. But they've played well. I think their confidence is high. It was a good performance against Luton. But, and going back to Craig's point, the game will be a totally different game at Wembley. Michael Oliver refereed that game last night as if it was being played in the 80s. Players were able to crash into each other. There was no real passing in the game because every time there was a bit of momentum through passing, someone would crash into another tackle. Stevie Cook should have been sent off for one of the tackles that he made. So the game will be a much slower game at Wembley. And I think because of that, Nottingham Forest will be able to play their passing game. And they've got some very good technical players.
Most saying that Forest obviously favourites to go into the Premier League, Craig. Does that almost benefit Huddersfield Town? They can play with the leash off, come and you're the underdogs, go out there, no one's expecting anything from you?
Well, they are. Their fans and their town's expecting them to be back in the Premier League, so they're in the playoffs now. It doesn't matter, you know, if you were like Forest, who lost six out of the first seven, or Sunderland many, many years ago, who I think were in the bottom three when Roy Keane took over and went on an amazing run. So, you know, there is opportunities in this division. I just don't know. I obviously have seen more of Forest than I have of Huddersfield, having, you know, lived in that area for many years. I just don't know how Huddersfield players will handle the nerves. Obviously, it's going to be such a huge game for both, but I do know Forest can play a lot better than they did last night. And I do know they've got a big threat up front, obviously, with Surridge. And particularly, again, I mentioned Brennan Johnson. So Forest do have a threat. They'll play with a back three. They're pretty solid at the back. But they can pass it better, Dan, than they did. And I'm just thinking, really, if Forest get up, how all those players they're going to have to sign and all that money they're going to have to give them, I could put an extra couple of hundred grand on my house in Nottingham and sell it. It's going to be great. Fantastic.
Of course, there we are. We got there in the end. Game, of course,
about,
live.
This is all about selling houses. It's not about
indeed.
Football.
Yep, footballers who want to rent a house in Nottingham if they get promoted. Craig Burley is your man. Just a reminder, that game live on ESPN Plus on May the 29th. Coverage starts at 11:30 Eastern. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. However, we'll have Robert and why not Craig as well. We'll be back as well.
Apologetic.
Very much apologetic. That more will be explained in extra time. Ali staying with us as well to answer your questions. So be sure to stay tuned. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Ali Moreno with us here in the studio. Stuart Robson joins us. Craig, what is that behind you?
Picture.
What is it? It was like Craig's moods.
Well, very dark. Very dark.
There's too many light bits, to be fair.
I didn't choose it.
Really? Oh, that's a surprise. Getting work done.
I like to move around the house to have a variation.
Right.
Fireplaces.
Where is this? Where in the house is this? The bathroom.
Upstairs.
Right,
no.
Okay.
No, I won't be doing it. I'll do it from there. Do it from the bog.
Well, yeah, some of the stuff you come out with, it's probably apt. Would Craig be supporting a team in the Premier League finally if Nottingham Forest get promoted?
No. Good question. I'm kind of drawn there because of my son and my grandson, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, not there yet, put it that way.
No. Oh, look, he's laying it down.
I do have a question, though. So we know that Craig has fixed up the house
and yes.
could potentially rent out the house yep. or sell the house. Wouldn't he be better off if a player from Nottingham Forest actually is doing well in the Premier
yes.
League?
Yeah.
Because indeed then, hey, that rent will be there for years to come. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a win-win, isn't it? You can get your grandson's happy, your son's happy.
Yeah,
your rent.
But I've seen the state of renting out a property. I've seen the damage. I've seen the bomb damage. I've seen the garden. So listen, we can clean it up. So no.
We can see it behind you now with that picture. There's a bit of damage there. What went wrong?
I'll tell the wife. She picked it. Next time you're over at a barbecue at Nicole's house and the wife's there, Rob, I'll tell her you said that.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Gosh. Well, there you are. Robbo, you would never let your garden go into ruin. Robbo loves a bit of gardening.
Yeah, I know.
Pristine.
That's a
pristine.
Green thumb.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not happy, Dad. I'm not happy. I've lost a couple of trees in the winter. I don't know what's gone on.
Where did they go? Oh, damn. That tree got...
They had buds on them and they haven't come through. Died.
You didn't look after them properly, Robbo. It's your fault.
Well, it can't be a lack of water. I water them every day.
He used to say that about his head, didn't he? He said,
I started putting manure on my head, thought it might grow back again.
I'm not happy. I've lost a chunk of hair in the winter.
Oh, my God.
Did you say you're putting manure?
Yes, yeah. Bit of fertiliser up there, see what you can do.
Didn't quite work.
Desperate times.
Hey, I'm going there soon, Robbo. I'm coming.
Robbo, during your playing career, was there an ex-player legend who criticised you a lot about your performance on the pitch? Likewise, was there an ex-player legend who praised your play on the pitch?
I can't remember anybody. Peter Reid was, a very good player, and it said in one of his articles that I was the hardest player he played against, so I suppose that was a compliment. Tony Woodcock, who I played with. Tony Woodcock, who I played with and thought I got on very well, wrote in his book that I was a pain in the ass, a pain in the neck.
Wow!
Oh, see.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, what? What?
Bleed. Why? What? What caused that, Robbo?
I kept on running into his space, apparently, and didn't allow him to use the freedom down the outside left channel because I kept on making forward runs and got in his way. So I was a nuisance to him.
Have you seen him since?
Yes, I have seen him since, and it was all very friendly, I've got to say, Dan.
Robbo. Oh, God, you wimp.
He even invited me out to Cologne to do a piece on their youth academy. There we are.
What a treat.
Are you sure he's invited you to Cologne, or he said, I don't like the smell of your cologne?
That might have been it.
Craig, how did you deal with pundits being critical of you?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah, it's part of... I mean, it's... I pulled a few journalists over the years to have a word with them, but it wasn't for being critical, it was for what I perceived to be coming personal. And then I pulled a couple of journalists for headlines, but the headline was always blamed on the editors and the subbies. So, but no, that's part of the, praise from people and criticism from people, but it wasn't as much then. I mean, it wasn't wall-to-wall TV like there is, wall-to-wall sport on TV like it is now. So it wasn't quite the same.
And the relationship with journalists are different now than they were back then, I think.
Right.
Where you could actually have a conversation with a journalist, whereas now there's 100 of them and they all have an avenue and a platform by which they can write whatever they want to write. And so you don't even know these people anymore. You don't even have a personal relationship with these people anymore. And so therefore there isn't that space to go and say, hey, what you wrote there was inaccurate, was unfair. You didn't know this. Let me give you some background, let me give you some context. Not quite the case nowadays.
Still very polite.
Well, it would have been different choice of words.
Spicier.
Yes, there would have been a little bit more intensity and energy in the conversation, but that was the gist of the message.
A question for Craig and Rob. Go on.
I got really angry once when I did an interview when I was at Celtic for Football Focus with Gareth Crooks.
Yep.
And it wasn't Gareth or Football Focus. It was, he wanted to do it a way where he asked me a certain question about a person or something and I gave him a one-word answer. And we've been doing it quite a bit. And then he asked me about Joe Venglos, who was at that point, the current coach of Celtic. And I just went blank and I sort of just let a laugh out. I didn't say anything. My mind went a blank. I didn't have a word. And the next day, one of the national newspapers, back page splash was, Burnley, Venglos is a joke from me. And I had the general manager of Celtic seething at me for saying nothing. You know what I mean? Basically saying nothing. So, you know, everybody was blaming everybody. I mean, you know, I went to the journalist and then blaming headline people. But it just shows you how things can be spun round, because I never, not one, at not any point did I say Venglos is a joke. I didn't say anything. So stuff like that, you know, you're gonna get a bit annoyed about.
So how do you deal with it, Craig? You ring up the newspaper, ring up someone you know at the newspaper and say, what's going on?
Well, I rang up the journalist at the time who I knew, and he said, well, he was apologetic about it, but the damage is done. And so for no reason, because Joe Venglos had come in off the back of Wim Jansen winning the league and was having a hard time, right? Was having a hard time with this squad that had been successful. And he was being somewhat ridiculed a little bit by the fans and by others. And so by me going a blank and saying nothing and just sort of sniggering a little bit and them running a headline, I had to go to him and bloody apologise.
Right.
I had to go and say, start, you know, going on hands and knees and saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't say this and this is the news. But I'm thinking, oh my God. You know, so it just puts you in a position. But once that headline's out there in the national back page, the damage is done. It's out there.
And sometimes,
I'm just struggling to have like a mental picture of Craig apologising. This is something which is very much new. I can't believe it actually happened.
And well, sometimes, sorry, Dan.
Go on, Robbo. Go on, Robbo.
Sometimes it's also the manager has the pressmen in his hands. When I was leaving Arsenal to go to West Ham, George Graham had a couple of journalists that he spoke to, and he told complete lies in the paper about me. But he made them after five. I was only allowed to sign after 5 o'clock for West Ham, so he could get to the papers first and say his side of the story and say that I was offered the highest any Arsenal player had ever been offered, that he wanted me to stay, but I obviously wanted to go to West Ham. And this was all put in the paper the next day, and it was all lies. But by the time you come back, it's too late.
So did you call out? Go on, Craig.
I apologised to Glenn Hoddle once, so it wasn't a one-off.
Wow.
Hey.
I'm an heck, Craig.
It's a trend now.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm on a roll.
Yeah, exactly.
He took me off in a London derby against Tottenham. It was a 4-3 thriller. Mark Steen scored a late penalty. We were 2-0 down. He took me off 80-odd minutes. Now, he took me off to waste time. At the end, unfortunately, I didn't see it that way. And I almost had a fight with him in the dugout. And things got a bit silly. To which point, a couple of the most senior players at the time told me afterwards that I should really go and apologise to him just in case Glenn was going to hold a grudge. And so I begrudgingly trudged off to his office and offered a very meek apology for my actions.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd really love to see that. Robert, did you ever call out George Graham for that?
No, because by that time I'd signed for West Ham and I was a West Ham player, so I didn't want to get involved in a spat with him anymore. You know, it was too late. He'd had his piece in the paper and that was it. And according to Arsenal fans, I'd left even though I was going to be the highest paid player Arsenal had ever had. And that I didn't want to sign for Arsenal. That was what he put in the paper, and that was total lies.
Is that why you're so anti-Arsenal now? Just set a precedent.
Now see, Dan, you brought that up. No, you know I'm pro-Arsenal. It was only Arsene Wenger that I thought got sort of not unfair praise at times.
Mm. A question for Craig and Robbo, who have worked alongside big commentators in Europe. Any best commentary line from a commentator that they will always remember because it sent them off their seats during a wild goal celebration? Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
Well,
think about that one.
I'm trying to think about the actual words, but it was more about the emotion. And you know what I'm going to say here, Daniel?
You're going to say Aguero?
Yeah, because Robbo and I both work with Peter Drury. Now, there are there are a lot of good commentators out there. You know, we're talking about the English language commentators now. And he's such a mild-mannered guy. I'd seen him describe goals and worked with him describing goals before and getting very, you know, in the moment. But I just never seen Peter Drury And I was working on the World Feed with him in that City QPR game when Aguero scored. I've never seen him like it. Astonishing. Astonishing! He was going like, and he kept doing it, and he's and I was like, I'm like that, Peter. I thought he was like, I thought Pete was on steroids. I was like, oh my god, it was incredible. And he's still doing it to this day. He's still calling games brilliantly to this day. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the best.
Did I just get there that Craig was the voice of calmness?
Yeah, calmness. This is a new sign of Craig we're seeing.
And he's apologizing to multiple people. I don't know what's happening, but I like it.
Well,
it's the thought of all that forest rent.
When the commentator's going through his very, very animated spiel, I find it best that you're thinking about the best time to come in with the best line you can find.
Yeah.
Not that I ever did that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, what was your line after you're still trying to find it, aren't you, Craig?
Huh?
I said, you're still trying to find it, Craig, aren't you?
Robbo, that's why we do this job. We're always searching for that line.
Searching.
What about you, Robbo? What sticks out?
Well, I'm going to tell you a little one from yesterday. Paul Walker was the commentator for the Sheffield United versus Nottingham Forest game, and he's a very good commentator. And what he told me before the game is he was quite pleased to be doing the game because he's a massive Sheffield United fan. And when they scored their second goal to make it 2-1, he stood up and the chair behind us got knocked over. He then barged into me and almost fell out of his chair. So I would say he was slightly excited by Sheffield United getting back into the game. What he did when Nottingham Forest scored the last penalty to win, I won't tell you about that.
Oh, no, Robbo. How unprofessional.
Robbo, who did you say the commentator was yesterday? Because I was trying to figure it out.
Paul Walker.
All right, mate. I was trying to... I couldn't figure it out.
He's a big Sheffield United fan, isn't he?
He certainly is.
Yeah, he fell over. A question for Robbo. Do you think this season will be considered a failure for Arsenal when they eventually finish fifth on Sunday? Is Arteta out of his depth after nearly 3 years at the helm?
Hang on. At the start of the season, I don't think you'd ever say that Arsenal are going to be a top four team. I look at their players and I don't think they've got a great squad. I don't think they're particularly strong mentally. They're not strong physically. They've got some good young players coming through. I'm not a great fan of Arteta. I don't think he's the man to take Arsenal to the next level. But I wouldn't say it's been a disaster for them because no one expected them to get in the top four. And if they do get in the top four on Sunday, which they probably won't now, it will be a very good season for them.
Hold on, Robbo. You were actually at the City Ground.
Yes, I was at the City Ground.
You should have told me. No, you should have told me. I would have turfed my son out of the house and I put you in an Airbnb there for the night.
Cheap rates.
Yeah, I know your cheap rates. I've seen them cheap before. Rate. Don't worry about that. You're Scottish, remember?
Cleaning rates be quite high. Robbo with his manure flapping around.
He's got a clout.
Craig, Stevie the other day brought up you guys teaming up in beer pong. This is when you almost called caused Stevie's son and his daughter-in-law a divorce. Who would win in beer pong between myself and you against Ali and Robbo? Could anyone on ESPN FC beat the Scottish powerhouse of Stevie and Craig?
I can't remember the game, but him and I were...
Yeah.
How do you play that?
It's where you bounce the ping pong ball into the cups.
Mm. Oh, over a hard table, yeah?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, if memory serves me right, him and I were sneakily cheating.
Right.
And he was adjusting the scores in our favour as we went along as well. And his daughter-in-law was becoming extremely irate to the point, I would say, that I would have some concern for Stevie's son in a scenario that wasn't going his way, put it that way.
Yep.
All feisty.
But you can imagine Craig in that situation, yeah?
Yes.
He would just get the biggest spoon and stir.
Well, I was, and actually Stevie told me to stop.
Wow.
He said, stop. He said, this is going to end badly.
Yeah, so. Light the fuse and walk away.
I have to say,
yes,
college years.
Yep.
You become very good at playing beer pong.
Yep.
Yes. Here's the issue with me. I don't drink beer.
Right.
So while I could make the shots, yeah, if somebody made the shots on my cup, now yeah, I have to drink.
Yeah.
Let's just say that my games would fall apart rather quickly. No, I was no longer bouncing the ball with the accuracy that I needed. Yep. After a few points, I had gone the wrong way.
Craig would use the phrase chicken soup.
Yes.
I believe in that.
Yes.
In that context.
Chicken soup.
Robbo, how's your beer pong game?
I've never heard of it. I went to a posh school. We didn't play things like that at our school.
No.
We played bowls.
Sauvignon
like
Blanc.
That.
Croquet.
Yeah. Marbles. We played marbles.
Beer pong is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So I'm told.
Oh, yeah, it's great fun. For Robbo, after what you've seen this season of City, what's more likely to happen on Sunday? City finishes Villa within the first 20, 30 minutes, or Villa pushes City all the way at the Etihad deep into the second half for the nerves to creep in?
I think Manchester City will start the game really well and they'll get a goal up, and I think then they're going to control the game. I think it's going to be a comfortable game for them in the end. Yes, Aston Villa might have one or two counter-attacks and Man City might be caught out, but over the course of the game, I think Man City will be in control. They'll start the game well, they'll go a goal up, and they'll probably win by a couple of goals in the end.
Final question. Would the panel like to see, Ali, would you like to see a Messi, Neymar, Lewandowski front three or a Havertz, Werner, Lewandowski front three?
The first one.
Yeah.
What? What?
Craig wants Havertz, Werner, Lewandowski.
What?
I'll take Messi, Neymar, Lewandowski.
Who the hell wants to see Havertz, Werner and Lewandowski?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Who's come up with that?
I don't know.
It's Trini to the bone, if you want to know his name.
But Chelsea would be a good fit for Lewandowski if they can get rid of Lukaku, wouldn't they, Robbo?
No. Most forwards that go to Chelsea end up not having a good time. I think Drogba was one that obviously did do brilliantly, but you can go through them all. Fernando Torres didn't do particularly well. Diego Costa was another one who did well. Morata went there as one of the best players in Europe. He was hopeless when he was there. And it's been the same with Lukaku. There's a lot of failures that go to Chelsea as a centre forward. Timo Werner being another one.
Yeah, Shevchenko as well. You go all the way back.
And as good as Havertz has been over the last few months for Chelsea, whatever you may think of Timo Werner, nobody wakes up and says, you know what I really want in my life? I want to watch some Kai Havertz and Timo Werner.
Right.
Now, you watch Messi and Neymar just because it's interesting to watch them play, and then you add Lewandowski to that. I think this is a no-brainer.
That is it. Thank you very much. An eclectic extra time there, to say the least. Apologies for Robbo and his naughty ways.
Yes,
the NFC is very interesting tomorrow language there. For more. Be sure to join us.